where are we going to go now? We go for our first song, How Great Thou Art. It's number 506. God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, the power throughout, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul. You know, we see God and then we praise God, yeah? Wonderful, good old hymn, isn't it? I have been going through the Old Testament and in the Bible, and we've kind of completed that, and I do this in schools in a different format from time to time as an RE lesson, and I always kind of shudder when I get to the end because I have to sum up the Old Testament and I just feel absolutely totally inadequate to do that, and I have a go, and I'm just going to share with you my sort of basic summary. So my basic summary is the Old Testament is all about law, and then we move into the New. And would anybody like to give one word beginning with L to sum up the New Testament, perhaps?
Love.
Well done, Mum. Yeah, that's the one I've got. And so I would suggest law for the Old Testament, but love for the New Testament. So we're just going to start this New Testament whip through, and it's going to be quick and brief and in a style I can only manage. So that's where we are. So when we think about love, you know, us in our English language, we only have one word for love, which kind of has lots of different meanings. Whereas in the Greek, I'm reliably informed that there are three words that we translate into our one word. So there's three different meanings of the word love, which we could see in the New Testament Greek language. So I just want to run through those very briefly. You probably know these already, but it's the first one is eros. And so that would be a sexual love between a husband and wife. So that's one sort of aspect of love. And then there's another one, which is philia. So that's like family love, brotherly love, friendship love. You know how we can love our friends. So it's a different from a husband and wife love. So that's called philia. And then there is God's love. And that one is called agape. And that love is just serves, that sacrifices, it bleeds and it dies for people. And it has the power to heal our hearts, to give us peace. And so we see these different descriptions of love, which unfortunately don't come through in their full meaning in our translations of the Bible, because our English language is not quite up to it. But I'm not up to our English language either, so I... You realise you get a very inadequate time on a Sunday morning with me. And, you know, in our society today, we're often inclined to think, you know, if only I could find the perfect lover, you know, that one who would let, who I could escape from myself, you know, because I'm not a very good person particularly. But they would accept me, you know, they would accept me with all my faults and they would make me good. You know, if only I could find that perfect lover who would do that for me. And that's what we often see in films, isn't it, you know, and all this sort of thing. And do you know what? We're just looking for somebody to do that difficult job of changing us, really, aren't we? You know, because change is always difficult and we don't like changing ourselves, because to start off, we've got to admit we're not quite up to it. And so if we go through life with this attitude, it can work for a while, but sooner or later it often crashes and we end up in a pile on the floor because humans aren't that good. You know, we can love one another, but we can't do it perfectly. And so often there are problems. But so what we need to do really is to look outside of our human world for this person who can love us with perfect love. And that, of course, I believe is the Lord Jesus. And if we look at John 3, verse 16, up on the screen here, it was our first memory verse, I believe. So that was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Yeah. Somebody read out this verse, can they?
John 3:16.
That's right. So this is this agape love. This is God loving the world. And he's just saying we just need to believe in him to receive his love. Everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, God loved the world. He loved everybody here. And then when Jesus came, Jesus displayed this love in human form, as it were, so we could understand and see it. As he walked around, as he interacted with people, as he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He was loving those people right there in front of him. And so that is how we can see Jesus' love in human flesh. And Jesus loved the good people. He loved the bad people. He loved the rich people. He loved the poor people. And he loved the Jewish people and also the Gentile people, those who weren't Jews. And so the Bible tells us this story of God reaching out to our humanity, God reaching down to us on earth with his amazingly great and wonderful love, which is going to be enough for us to change and to become like him. Quiz in a moment. So we just wait for them to get in before we have our quiz. And this is not about a person. This quiz is described as a thing. I'm not quite sure if a thing really describes it, but yeah, we'll have to find out. So questions coming on the screen, and when you know the answer, just stand up. It gives us a little bit of exercise because we can't stand up and sing, so we have this quiz. So when you know the answer, stand up, and if you get to the bottom and you still don't know it, the answer will come up and we can all stand up and have a bit of a stretch and go for it. Okay. Many waters cannot quench me. People desire me. Try me on for size. I am a fruit. People sing of me. I am the greatest. I am a command. I am better than life. God pours me out. I drive away fear. I cover all wrongs. I go on forever. I am patient and kind. God is this. I am love. So well done. It's a bit tricky, isn't it? That's not an easy one to get hold of, I don't feel. But that is our little quiz for the morning. So I want to now go into talk about the Messiah. Messiah. So what? That's a strange sort of word, isn't it? Have you heard of Messiah before?
Yes.
Yeah? And has that been down here?
Sorry?
Yeah, has that been at chapel you've heard of it? Yeah. Have you heard of it outside of chapel?
No.
No. And so I just want to sort of delve into this word really in a way and see what it means to us as individuals and to perhaps our country, perhaps and then Israel, see what it meant to them. Anybody got another name for Messiah? Possibly another name for Messiah?
Savior.
Yeah, that's a good descriptive word. Savior. Life changer. I sort of want to put that in. And then let's have a little bit of try and apply this to ourselves. You know, what would really change our lives? What do we lie in bed of at night thinking about that? And we can have a bit of fun here. You know, we're not being deadly serious. What we really sort of think, oh, if only I had this thing. Anybody got any ideas? Let me start you off with an, if only I had this Fendt tractor. This is top of the pile of tractors. It really is. Unfortunately, I'd have to sell my house to buy this tractor. And then if I wanted the baler to go on the back of it, I'd have to sell mum and dad's house, you know? So this really is Clyde Cuckoo Land, really, you know? But it's just, that's what grabs hold of me, you know? Would really be a life changer if I had one of those. I wouldn't have time to do anything else because I'd have to sit in it 24/7 to even try to pay for it. But what really gets you guys, you know? Anybody willing to have a go at that? Katie, do you dream of certain things? that you'd really, really like? Do you say?
Katie loves Playmobil.
Playmobil.
I have to think about what Playmobil she could get.
Yeah. Do you see some nice pictures of it sometimes and think, oh, if only I had all these lovely Playmobils, it would be so wonderful. Yeah. Aston? Good grades and a successful career, yeah. You're obviously thinking ahead. Well done. Yeah.
A fabric shop.
A fabric shop. Whoa, yes. A fabric shop. Yep, Mary. Your very own power. What would you like to do with that power?
Everything.
Good answer. Wow, yes, this is really big stuff in it. Messiah is really big stuff. And okay, Isla? To do the right thing. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? You're thinking good thoughts. So, things that are really life-changing. You know, well, a few years ago, if you were listening to the news, you'd have heard only one thing which affected our country, and would, some people thought it would be wonderful, like a Messiah coming along, and others were against that. Anybody got any ideas what I'm talking about?
Brexit.
Yep, yeah, there you go. To some people, Brexit was going to be their Messiah. You know, it was going to come and save our country. It was going to take off, and we'd be back in the empire again, having an empire, being out of the EU. And so I don't want to get into the politics of that, of course. But if you lived in Scotland at the moment, you might think that independence was your Messiah. You know, they're just really, really keen to get their independence from the rest of the country. And so that could be described as their Messiah. You know, this real life-changing event that comes into the country. And so we don't have to think too hard at the moment, what is our country's Messiah? I had a letter on Saturday, actually. Come and get an injection. A vaccine is our Messiah in the moment, isn't it, as a country, it would seem. It's all which is talked about on the news, and, you know, you're going to have a passport to go anywhere to see if you're good enough and all this sort of thing. And sadly, we know that that's not going to be much of a Messiah, is it? Because we might need another one in 6 months and another one again in another 6 months. And all that sort of thing. And actually, death will still come. We cannot avoid death. It will still be there. So what about the country of Israel, their Messiah? You know, when Judah was down there, the Babylonian Empire came along and they captured them all and took them all away to Babylon. And what were they thinking? They need a Messiah to come and rescue them. Well, the Persian Empire came and took over the Babylonian Empire. They were slightly better, perhaps, in that they let some of the Jewish people, they let any Jewish people go back. But then what happened was the Roman Empire came and took over Judah. You know, and so what was Israel's empire, Messiah, going to look like? Israel's empire, Messiah needed to get rid of those Romans. Get them out of the way so they could be free. They wanted their freedom once more. That freedom which was so wonderful in the Garden of Eden, where they could just walk with God and have peace with God and just love each other purely and 100%. And so I would like to suggest that some people in Israel were looking for a person who could get rid of the Romans, who would be their Messiah, bring them their freedom. But we got to read in from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, please. And we will see a different Messiah there. So thank you.
But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish in the former time. He brought into contempt in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter times he had made glorious the way of sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nations, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle of Tumlut, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Thank you. So we give a different picture there of Messiah, and it's quite special, isn't it? So if we look into the New Testament now, we're actually going to get there with Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. And it starts with, this is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah. So it's telling us now that Matthew is telling us that Jesus is the Messiah. And then he goes on and he gives us a whole big long list of names. And we might recognize him at the top. We see Abraham there. Abraham was the father of Isaac. And Isaac was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah. Anybody name somebody of Judah's brothers? He had 12 of these brothers. 12 tribes of Israel. Yep. What's the famous brother?
Joseph.
We remember Joseph, don't we, in his wonderful story. And so there. And then all the other names come down through. Should we have the next list of names? We don't recognize a lot of those. Ram was the father of Ambibadab. Are you glad I didn't ask you to read this reading, aren't you? And then we see Boaz. Well, who's Boaz linked to? Who do we remember with Boaz? Who's Boaz's wife?
Ruth,
that's right. Ruth wasn't even a Jewish girl. She was come from Moab, and she said to her mother-in-law, "Do you know what? I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people." And so here is Ruth listed in the ancestors of Jesus, because she saw that wonderful thing about the Jewish people and Jewish nation that she wanted to join them. So should we have the next page, Jill? And we go on through and we get to King David and Solomon. Great names there, and a whole load of other unpronounceable ones. Is that that's not the end, is it, Jill? No, there's a whole long list. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. And it goes on. Is there another one? Yeah. Then we get to the Babylonian exile. So this is kind of a real brief go through the Old Testament, isn't it? All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. Okay, now, I believe Matthew wrote all this down because to the Jewish people, their Messiah needed credibility. And so Matthew listed Jesus' ancestors back to Abraham to give him this credibility. And that to them was the key that they needed to know. This man is he's got the right ancestors, you know, and so he is listed as the Messiah there. And did we get to the bottom? Yeah, we have Mary and Joseph kind of in the middle there. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So that was kind of the proper Jewish perspective of their Messiah. But as I say, I think a lot of them actually wanted just somebody to come along and take out those Romans and free them from that. So we got four Gospels telling us about Jesus' life in the New Testament times. And the last one of those is John. So I'd like us to read how John introduces us to Jesus in the beginning of his book. And so, Isla, are you doing, and Natasha, are you doing our next reading, please?
John chapter 1, 1 to 14. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell everyone about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony.
John himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word was in the world, and the world was made through him. But the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, but this own people did not accept him. Some people did accept him and did believe in his name. He gave them the right to become children of God. To be a child of God has nothing to do with human parents. Children of God are not born because of human choice, because a husband wants them to be born. They are born because of what God does. The Word became a human being. He made his home with us. We have seen his glory. It is the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, and the Word was full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Natasha. That was very well read. And so we're seeing Jesus there being described as the Word. And it's kind of another name for Jesus. It's kind of a bit strange, but that is what John is saying. Jesus is the Word of God, the sort of bit that communicates with us human beings. I think we could perhaps understand that as. And so John is saying, the Word was there right at the beginning, and he's taking us back to the beginning of creation when God created the world. And he's almost saying, we're having a new start now with Jesus, a new creation. Jesus is coming. He's bringing light. He's bringing his Word, God's Word. He's bringing himself to us. And it's going to be light in the darkness. Remember what Isaiah said? Light will shine in a dark place. And, that there, in the Old Testament, we could kind of think of, it's a bit difficult to understand. It's hard. It's sort of shades of grey, which can teach us things, but we have to really struggle. And our building is quite light, but I think this torch is going to bring even more light to the building. And we have light, we have understanding, but Jesus is bringing even more light, even more understanding to us through himself, because he is the one and only bright light, the perfect light. And so we need to understand that. We need to read all about Jesus in the Bible to understand the light which Jesus is coming and bringing. And so I want to just read you this story that I've got out of the book. And it's about a man called Des. And he says here, after a difficult upbringing, Des experienced a relationship betrayal which broke him completely. One Christmas, he was in such a dark place, he decided to drink himself into stupor and end it all. On his way to the off-license, he heard the sound of singing and wandered into the back of a church's carol service. As he stood there, a lady got up and read from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. Des later told me how these words struck him like rays of hope. For the first time I felt loved, he said. In Jesus Christ, Des discovered that his tired old story could have a new beginning. He got to the bottom. He was about to give up, but he discovered his story could have a new beginning because he had encountered some light from Jesus. And so as we go into this New Testament, I hope we can encounter more light from Jesus as we go along. And we I'm very inadequate here, but God can speak to us regardless of me when we look into his Word And he can bring that light into our hearts to shine brightly, to encourage, to bless, to teach, to help us in the everyday bits of life that we struggle with so often. And so a bit of a summary. We have the Old Testament law, we have New Testament love, and we see God's love. And this Messiah is not going to be a human Messiah. It's a divine Messiah. It's a wonderful, amazing, out of our human understanding type of Messiah. And we have light, and we have the light in the Bible. We have the light in the New Testament, which we're going to get into and see in the next few weeks. So we need to be excited. It's going to be great. It's going to be filling our hearts with peace when we see and accept Jesus the way he is and the way he loves us. And so we have our last song, and this song is a wonderful song. I know it's a favorite of a lot of ours here. It's 748. It's saying, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. You were there, weren't you? Great. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much that we can look into your word, the whole Bible, but especially now coming up the New Testament, and we can see you there, Lord. We can see your love for us. We can see your sacrifice. We can see just such amazing way that you love us and care for us and lead us and guide us, Lord. So help us in this coming week, Lord, and whether it's new with school or whether it's whatever things we need to face this coming week, Lord, we just pray that we can go there with you, that we can know you with us, and that we can know that you have come into our hearts to forgive us, to bless us, and to give us new life in heaven. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.